जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पाथाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन क्रदिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशा अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुलारविन्दाय येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नवानिलादाय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीताम्बदनुहे नमः सर्व उपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थोवल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदं देवं कंसचामूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं विष्णुप्रमदनाजयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशव पाराशर्यवजसरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेदीयमानं मुदा भूयात्मानदपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तियं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्तियं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Arjuna asks a question, sannyasam and tyagam, what does it mean? What is the tattvam behind that? He said, sannyasasya mahabaho tattvam ichyami vedidam tyagasya krishikesha pradakeshani shodhana. This was Arjuna's question, right? And Krishna answered, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo viduhu and sarvakarma phalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. This was Krishna's answer to that. So, we were discussing that last time, right, that rishis have a way of saying things, and sometimes we may not fully able to understand it, the way they talk, right? So he said here, kamyanam karmanam nyasam. This verse is very important, as well as you will see the next verse also. Krishna, what he talks about that. Yeah. So kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. Krishna says, kamyana means that, for example, in Vedam there are many ways. Vedam is not only for spiritual life. Vedam is also for living in this world, how one should live, right? So people who have come here, we have different desires. When we come to this world, we come with the desires. It's already there in a subtle body, in a very dormant way. And it will start manifesting one after the other as we grow up. And it will start coming out in one, and it's called vasana, is it not? So here he's saying, because it is like that, Vedam knows these things. So what Vedam has said is that you follow a particular process by which you fulfill your desires. And that is how these Ashwamedham, Putragameshti, Adiratram, Agnishromam, all kinds of sacrifices spoken in the Vedam is to fulfill our material desires. So that you don't, if you have a desire and you cannot get rid of it from inside, it's not, it has to go through it. You have to have it done. And for that purpose, Vedam says all these kinds of sacrifices. Agnishtomam, Adiratram, Vajapayam, and everything, Putragameshti, all these are with different goals in life, to achieve something in life, what you want. Don't acquire the, everything is not through hard work in life. Yeah, we have this misunderstanding. Because we don't have any faith in the Shastram anymore. People just think that if I work very hard and make money, I will be happy. But it's not happening though. It's not happening. So that is what he's saying here. Kamyanam karmanam yasam. Krishna is saying here that if you have this, if you are not a sannyasi, if you are not a sannyasi, right, and you still have desires in you, Krishna says you follow the Vedic process and fulfill your desires in that way, right? If you follow this process, the advantage is that you are not causing any harm to anybody else without damaging someone else's life. So, but if you are a sannyasi, then you should have no kamya karma, no more karma with the swartham, selfishness. For yourself, there is no karma anymore. That is fine. That is what's called kamya karma is not allowed, right? So that is what he specifically said, that kamyanam karmanam yasam. Kamya karma should be given up, right? That is sannyasam, he said. That is the first statement. Kamya karma for a sannyasi is not allowed under any circumstances, right? Then the second statement, sarvakarma phalatyagam, prahustyagam vijakshana, he said. So, Krishna's point is that they know the secret of karma. What is that? That sarvakarma phalatyagam, whatever karma you do here, right? Not only karma also should be done for Krishna, and also the results also should go to Krishna. That way, both sarva karma bhala tyaga, karma should be for Krishna, bhalam also should be for Krishna. In that way, right? No, you shouldn't say that only bhalam should be given to Krishna. Karma should also be offered to Krishna, right? So, what that means is, when you say like that, what does that mean? Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Sarva karmam, when you say, it is kartrutvam is going, gone. Then sarva karma, sarva bhalatyagam means bhoktrutvam has gone. So kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, you know what that means. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Both should be going to Krishna. Right. So, all this is only possible when one has some good spiritual culture in a person. Only such personality is possible to do that. So, therefore, if you observe people who are in traditional way in the history, you will find everybody didn't go and take sannyasam. Everyone don't take sannyasam. Those who felt that they have come to that level of realization and spiritual understanding of spiritual culture, they will go forward and have it. And before they take, they will consult a lot of people. It's not like in the institution style. Before you take sannyasam, you will go and consult many others about it, right? Just to give you recent examples, for example, there was this, there was a devotee by name Kunjaswami. He is from Palakkad. And his history is known to everybody. He, some or the other, from early days itself, he had an attraction for spiritual life. It happens in people's life. Due to several experiences in home and family life and all that, he got somehow attracted to spiritual life, and then he caught a train and went to Katpadi, that's a junction station there, and from there he walked all the way to Thiruvannamalai to see Maharshi, Ravana Maharshi, right? So Maharshi saw him from the beginning itself and noticed the person's nature inside, that he was very detached to the world and he's very determined to make progress in spiritual path. You can see such people will be easily recognized. People who have spiritual vision, they will see the spirituality in others. And those who don't have the spiritual vision, they will think everybody is equal. Everybody is not equal in this world. We all have different vasanas, propensities and all that. So when Kunjaswami came to see Ramana Maharshi, Maharshi immediately noticed that he has a strong spiritual inclination, but he won't speak anything. He will come and sit and listen to what Maharshi had to say, and sometimes spend a few days together, and then he will go back home again. And that is how he was. He came and gone many, many times, back and forth, right? So, and he has become more or less very close with Maharshi. And he one day decided to go to Hrishikesh. And he went to Hrishikesh. And he obviously, he was not only going to Thiruvannamalai, he was going to places like Hrishikesh, Haridwar. In them days it was quite common. Only sadhus travelled then. Now it is spiritual tourism, isn't it? Everybody is a sadhu now. And everyone is travelling. Because of the travelling facilities. Them days facilities are very little. So he travelled often and goes to, sometimes we go and spend time in Kashi, sometimes, because most of the people go to these Kashi, Hrishikesh, Haridwar, these are places where many of the sannyasis lived at that time. So he went to Hrishikesh, and obviously he met some sannyasis there, and he took sannyasam from there. He took sannyas from there. And then he came back. Naturally, what that means is that he was having these thoughts in his mind from early days itself. Like Chinmayananda's guru also, Tapavana Swamiji. He also went like this and took sannyasam, and then after that they never fell. They stayed in that state throughout life. They never had fall downs or any other kind of complaints against them. Right? So that's due to that maturity inside, spiritual maturity as you call it. When you are not spiritually matured, and then you are forcing all these things on people, sannyasam and all that, the chances are that they will fall. You cannot help it. Because inside is not ripe. Outside everything is ripe, dressed. Inside is not ripe for that state. Yeah. So he came back and he met Maharshi. Maharshi didn't give sannyasam to anyone. Maharshi was in a higher state than that. So when he came back, Maharshi said, that's nice, that what you have done is good. That he understood that this person is qualified and he is ready for it. Yeah, he could notice that. Yeah. Then what happened was that there was another, I think he was Dutch person, Morris Friedman. You will see, if you Google, you will see all these things there. He was very fond of this spiritual culture, Vedic culture. But because of his birth in Holland and upbringing, Due to that, he does not understand all the subtle side of it. As usual, very enthusiastic to become a sannyasi. He wants to become a sannyasi anyway. So he went and asked Ramana Maharshi directly whether he could have sannyasam from him. Maharshi said, no, you can't, he said. But he wanted it very badly. So that shows the immaturity inside. Not able to. And this is a person who went to Bombay and met Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he wrote that book called, you'll see there, Talks with Nisargadatta Maharaj. Nisargadatta Maharaj was making BDs. That was, but he was a self-realized soul. All these stories are there, right? So he meets with Nisargadatta Maharaj and he wrote a book called Talks with Nisargadatta Maharaj. And that is how he became popular. And many people started coming from other places to meet Nisargadatta Maharaj, right? So, so before he went and asked Ramana Maharshi about this, Maharshi told him, is this white dhoti good enough? He asked him. That's how he asked him. Didn't say anything because he won't probably understand sannyasam properly. So what he knew that this Friedman will only seeing the dhoti rather than the inside. So Maharshi asked him, is a white dhoti not good enough? Why do you want to change it to saffron? So Morris Friedman thought that, he does not want to give me sannyasam. So what he did, he went to another ashram in Kanyangad, a place near Mangalore. And from that ashram, he got sannyasam. He got sannyasam from there. So after taking sannyasam, in his saffron dhoti and with a danda and all, he comes to Thiruvannamalai back again. When he came there, Maharshi has gone for a walk in the hills, which he was doing every day. He used to wander around in the forest. So when he was coming back, Morris Friedman offered obeisances to him, to Maharshi. So Maharshi said, you look like a clown in the circus, he said to him. Maharshi is very orthodox. Once he says something, he really means it. Yeah, we knew that this Morris Friedman, didn't have that spiritual position. In his view, in Maharshi's view, that you should not give sannyasam to somebody who hasn't got that state of consciousness, right consciousness, right? Because sannyasam is a very higher stage. So Maharshi won't take chances with that. He wouldn't take chances. So it was not any other reason. It is in his mind, Maharshi thought that I shouldn't offer sannyasam to someone. And if tomorrow something falls down, it is bad for him as well. People will say, Maharshi gave him sannyas and look, this is what has happened. Nowadays people don't talk like that, do they? Anybody takes sannyas, you fall, doesn't matter. Tomorrow he gets up again and then put another saffron clothes again and then continue. This is all more recent things, right? But in them days, if you take sannyasam and if you fall, you are considered to be the person who has given the sannyasam also will be looked at in a bad way, right? Apart from that, they had a little bit more faith in the shastram. Shastram doesn't allow giving sannyasam freely to anyone and everyone, right? So after Maharshi told him this, he went back and changed to white again. He took it away. Maharshi told him that you look like this, like a clown. And he took away his sannyasam cloth and danda and all. He threw it away. Because not understanding inside what sannyasam means. This is the principle what Krishna is talking about here. Sannyasam kamyanam karma. You see, inside is more important than the outside. Outside you can, any dress will be okay, but if inside is not ripened properly. And so, having said that, Ramana Maharshi followed Vedam rigidly. Vaidigam he is. He is a strict follower of Vedam, right? And his position is that what you are entitled, you can have it. What you are not entitled, you can't have it. That's his position, right? He is not a very modern person, in other words. I am saying he belongs to the old traditions, right? Not very independent. For him, Vedam is Pramanam. Vedam is authority. Outside Vedic injunctions, he won't act. He won't take any risks on anything else, right? At the same time, at that time, the particular conditions in Tiruvannamalai was also changing. Like it is changing now. You can see everything is changing so fast in the world, isn't it? So, same thing was happening there. And there was one person who was coming to the ashram regularly, who lived about 20-25 kilometers away from Tiruvannamalai. And he was a Brahmana, but at the same time, and you know, because 20 kilometers was a long distance then. You have to walk mostly, distances you have to walk. There was no transport facilities or anything. So he'll come sometimes to the ashram, spend some time, and then he will go back. That's how he was living, right? So one day, it so happened that he fell ill, and he was more or less certain that he's going to leave the body. So what he did was, he had a child who was about 10, 12 years old. So Subramanyam was his name. So this Krishnamurti, this person whose son is Subramanyam, Krishnamurti sent a message along with this child, Subramanyam, and sent him to Ramana Maharshi and told him, you look after him, please. This child, I have nobody to care for him, so you please take care of him. Send this message to Maharshi. Maharshi accepted that and sent a message back that it will be taken care of here. And Krishnamurti died after that, right? So he is only a child, 10, 12 years old. At that time, the political situations in Tamil Nadu was changing. You know this, what is that, Dravida Kazhagam, there was a party there. They're causing problem in another form now, DMK and all that. Yeah, the same. They were in their early stages, right? So they were against all this Vedam. Basically, they're against Vedam. And but they won't say that out bluntly. But everything what is done based on the Vedic traditions, they will question that. So they started making propaganda that you should not keep Shikha, and you should not have the sacred thread, and all these things. If they find somebody who have wearing the sacred thread, they'll get hold of them and cut their sacred thread and give them trouble that way. Similarly, if they'll find somebody and cut their shikha. All these kind of things were going on. So this young boy, 12 years, 13 years old, he was sensitive to what was going on around. So one day he said to Maharshi that, I feel like getting my shikha cut, he said. You know what Maharshi said to him? Maharshi said to him, have your intelligence become materialistic, he said. That was his answer. Because Maharshi's opinion is that what Shastram says, whether Dravida Kazhagam says or somebody else says, you don't change your faith and your submission to Shastram. That you don't change under any circumstances. So he told him, that have your intelligence become materialistic. This was his answer, right? He will not, Maharshi under any circumstances, won't allow to deviate from the Vedam, Vedic injunctions, right? So, but, I'm saying in reference to this verse, why? Because, in life, certain times, spiritually, when you make a lot of progress, right? That progress is difficult to explain what that progress is. Yeah? If you transcend all rules and regulations, then it doesn't matter. If you transcend them. Transcend means that you are not bound by these rules and regulations. The same thing Krishna talks in the Ekadasham, in the name of Vidhi and Nishedham. How far you should follow rules and regulations? That's the question, right? So Maharshi knew as a child, 12, 13 years old, he shouldn't be giving up this. He has not reached that stage yet. So he told him that out of selfish reasons, because if you do that, because that political party was doing all these things for their benefit, and because of your ahankaram, you go along with it, then that's not acceptable. This was Maharshi's position, right? So, whereas through spiritual knowledge and realization or spiritual maturity, if you have gone beyond all rules and regulations, then you can leave it all. Vidhi Nishedham, that chapter in the Ekadasham is very important. Krishna is saying, when can you leave rules and regulations? You don't have to, they will leave you on its own. Yeah? So that is what it was. So, so with Kunjaswami, Maharshi said, it's good what you have done. But Maurice Friedman, he said, you don't do it. You look strange when you do that. So that was Maharshi's position on that, right? So, and that thing, that ability to make that judgment is called vichakshana. See that word used there? Sarva karma bhalatyagam prahustyagam vichakshana. Vichakshana means this. And that won't come very easily. It takes lot of practice and lot of knowledge and lot of experience in life to come to that level of what we call vichakshana. You will see, if you want to understand the word vichakshana, in the first canto, in the fifth chapter, where Srinarada Maharshi was talking to Vedavyas, he used the same word. Vijakshanosyarkhati vedidam vibho. That is the 16th verse in the fifth chapter. Yeah, Vijakshanosyarkhati vedidam vibho ananda parasya nivurtital sukham pravartamanasa gunai analpmana tado bhavan darshaya cheshtidam vibho. Same vijakshana word is used there. So vijakshana means that make reaching that state of maturity to make such decisions. Right? So vijakshana means, you see, there is two things, isn't it? Pravritti margam and nivritti margam. Pravritti margam is the process by which you are engaging in karmam, and then karma phalatyagam, in that gradual process of coming out. Nivritti margam is, ultimate goal is nivritti, to come out of this entanglement, is it not? So one who knows the secret, or the, what they call it, the criteria of nivritti, one who knows that, he is what's called in Shastram Vichakshana. Vichakshana means one who knows how one can get free from the cycle of birth and death. Not sadhana process, but one who knows the secret behind that. What is favorable and what is not favorable. Because ultimate goal is to become free from this bondage of birth and death, is it not? And anything, so in life also, what to accept and what to reject, That expertise, that is called vijakshana. The expertise or the skill to accept and reject things in life, to accept things what are favorable for becoming free from the bondage, and to reject those things which are not favorable for freedom or for liberation, that skill doesn't come very easily. So one who has developed that expertise is called vijakshana. And that's what in that verse. He also says, Srinarada Maharshi says, Vichakshana Osyarkhati. Krishna used the same word, Vichakshana. The right word is Vichakshana. Vichakshana means one who has got that skill, one who has got that expertise to do that, right? So, that means he knows what is the right thing to do, right? Sarva karma phalatyagam, Krishna says, prahutyagam vichakshana. So, after saying that, Krishna said in the next words, Tyajyam doshavadi tyage karma prahur manishina yajna dana tava karmam na tyajyam iti japare. Yeah? So, he said, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam, he said, one. Then, sarva karma bhalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. So, tyagam is sarva karma bhalatyagam. Prahutyagam vijakshana. Vijakshana says like that. Krishna used that word specifically there. Vijakshana, right? Having said that, then to clarify that again, Krishna said, ತ್ಯಾಜ್ಯಂ ದೋಷವದಿ ತ್ಯಗೆ ಕರ್ಮ ಪ್ರಾಹುರ್ಮನೀಷಿಣ ಯಜ್ಞದಾನದವ ಕರ್ಮ ನ ತ್ಯಾಜ್ಯಮಿತಿ ಚಾಪರೆ. ಸೊ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ವಿಚಕ್ಷಣಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಒಪಿನಿಯನ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ನೌ ವಿಚಕ್ಷಣಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಸೇ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕರ್ಮತ್ಯಾಗಂ ಫಲತ್ಯಾಗಂ ಕರ್ಮತ್ಯಾಗಂ ಬೋತ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಚಕ್ಷಣಸ್ ಸೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಜನರಲಿ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಾಶ್ರಮಂ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ರೈಟ್ then you are not allowed to perform any yajnam, yagam. You have finished all that. Because they all belong to karmakandam and vasanakandam. You have come to the jnanakandam level. Once you have come to jnanakandam, then you don't perform yajnam, yagam, homam and things like that. Sannyasis are not allowed to do all that. Right? Similarly, sannyasis are not bound by, like others, to perform charity. Or to perform all the rules like we do, like Ekadashi and you know, Shashti or Chaturdashi and all kinds of vratam, different vratams are there. And other rules as well. He is not bound by that, right? And Shastram has said that. They are not bound by that, right? Because these are things mostly who are in the laugigam, in the material life to some extent, right? Strictly speaking, that one who fully established in the self and 24 hours in that state of consciousness, that I'm not the body, in that state, not thinking, but in awareness, in bodham, that I am not this body, that awareness is completely 100% in him, such a person, actually he alone is sannyasi. Proper sannyasi is like that. He has to be situated on the platform of the self, not in the platform of the body, under all circumstances, right? And for such people, there is no karma. They are not bound by karma. So that is why you don't find that. In Maharshi's case, for example, you don't see him worshipping a deity as such or offering any puja like others do. And he didn't follow Ekadashi or Shivaratri or any such thing. We may think that that's very strange, isn't it? That he doesn't have to follow all these things. It's not like that. What it is that 24 hours, when you are situated on the platform of the self, right, which we call it as anushtanam. Anushtanam means that anuchitena sthanam. That means you are situated in that position where Krishna is saying, sthanam prapsasi shashwatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So if you are in that sthanam, and anushtanam is there in a person, then then you are not bound by any of these rules, right? And this is not something you can verify by any means. So, another thing is that he didn't, for example, body needs a sleep, body needs a food, right? So, but he doesn't have sleep, so he was not sleeping either. He was in that state, right? Even sleep has left his, he was not, everyone was sleeping, he was staying awake in the night. And he carried on like this, year after year, without sleep, right? And similarly, no attachment to any particular type of food or anything. Sometimes he will eat something when he wants it. He will mix up everything and he will just take it inside, without any special preference to any type of food. So that means attachment to the food also has gone. Attachment to sleep has gone. These are all symptoms of an advanced person in spiritual life, right? So, practically he has no rules and regulations to follow because of his state of consciousness, in other words, right? Then he walked around only with a kaubinam and with a stick in the hand. And in the modern world, if you do that, you will be in trouble. So, but at his time, it was acceptable because he was so far moved away from the body that it did not matter to him. Nobody took it very seriously, right? So, but nobody could imitate these things. This has to happen from inside, from realizations, right? So, you can see that how sannyasam has changed over years. So, Krishna is saying, you can see in that verse, Tyajyam doshavaditega karma prahur manishina yatnyadana dhavakarmam na tyajyam iti chapare. Krishna's point is that if you haven't reached that state, what he is talking about, where you have totally become free from the identification with the body and the bodily demands, if you are in that state, then you can give up everything. But when you have, sannyasam is like that. Some people have reached the one particular state. Some people are on the process. Is it not? They have taken sannyasam, but they haven't reached there yet, that state. Yeah. So when it is like that, Krishna is saying, yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam, na tyajyam iti chapare, should not be given up. Yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam, na tyajyam iti chapare, Krishna says, right? So, that means, yajnam, performing sacrifices, danam means giving charity, right? This is the Shastra Vidhi, right? So, these are good things in life. Which one? Yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam. They are all good things if it is done properly, right? So, because of this, what happened in mathams, different mathams, Ramanuja's mathams and Ajari Swami's matham and all that, what they will do, that because karma vasana has not gone completely, so for them to keep them engaged, they will do puja in the matham, Chandramaulishara puja or Kamaksha puja and things like that. And in Sringeri, Kanji, everywhere, they follow that. That they will, sannyasis, because they haven't reached that state yet, they will engage themselves in some activities to keep, because of the demands of the body and the mind. Right? So, what Krishna's point is, what you have to do is, certain things you have to become free from that. Like kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, things like that. Those things should be given up. But not puja, yajnadanam, tapasya, karmam. They are not to be given up. What is to be given up is these impurities of the subtle body. That to get angry, to become greedy, to become lusty, things like that, right? So, the other things which are meant to create a discipline in our life, for example, Ekadashi, and similarly all other fasting, what you do, and control on the diet, and things like that. What is this all for? To create some discipline in life. To keep the body and the mind under control, right? Those things should never be given up. Anything meant for disciplining life, spiritual life is nothing but disciplining mind and the body all the time, is it not? Whether it is chanting or whether it is fasting and sleeping, all these things, if you do it in a disciplined manner, the body comes under discipline way. The body comes under that, and the mind, right? So it is for that purpose. Not that I have taken sannyasam, that I have given up all my karma, and then I'll go and sit and watch TV whole day. That's not disciplining, is there? So, sometimes they say, somebody went to Himalayas, and he met a sannyasi. Sannyasi was living inside a cave, but he had a TV there. So these things happens. People, because they don't understand the, I don't know what you say in English, the marma. Marma means the crux of the matter. The important side of it is understanding these things. Yeah. So the crux is not known to them. So, so that's what he's saying here. So if you look at there, that this on that the commentary is like this: that na apite karmani almani pashyandi yena niyadam karma mohat parityajeyu. In other words, giving up the nitya karma. These are all nitya karma. Puja, dhyanam, and japam. All these are nitya karma, right? And because they know that Atma is not doing anything, all this is done through the gross body and the subtle body. Atma is not doing anything, isn't it? So, so nitya karmam, giving up nitya karmam, is not a problem for them, for those who have gone higher, right? Then he says, the type of karma what you do in all situations is due to the modes of nature in you, depending on the types of modes of nature inside you, right? And those who know, modes of nature is working in me, I am not in that. Modes of nature is doing everything. In this, in that way, they have given up the karma. So, na kaya klesha nimittam, right? Because doing things means you have to engage the body sometimes, and the body, some effort is required. And that is called kaya klesha, right? And they understand that all desires, what is inside us, in our subtle body, is most of them related to our gross body. You see? If you look at it this way, that desires inside us, right? And that is all in the subtle body. And most of those desires are connected with our gross body. You think about yourself, you will see this. It has nothing to do with the soul. It's not coming from the soul. The soul is independent of all this. Antaryami is independent. Jiva has all the desires. And Jiva is in the subtle body. And all the desires are in the subtle body, in the mind, in the chittam, vasanas and all that. They are all connected with the gross body. So gross body and the subtle body together are doing everything, right? So, so therefore, because they understand all these things, right? So therefore they have, they do not give up karma because they know these things, that this is what's happening. Gross body is demanding things, various kinds of comforts and happiness. The gross body is dictating from inside. And its impact or effect is all on the subtle body for the jiva. Jiva is in the subtle body. So jiva in the subtle body has to meet all the demands of the gross body, which is outside, right? And that creates, and we know very well that when the gross body has to act, it creates difficulties. And therefore, sometimes people give up karma because of that. Because it is inconvenient for the gross body, therefore we give up karma, right? But people who have knowledge, who have reached that state of realization, in other words, they can see all these things and they can make decisions on this basis. We cannot, because we are not in that level. But those who are in that level, they can make the decisions. And they are very conscious of all these things. This is what's called spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity means constantly growing on the spiritual life, becoming more conscious of the activities of the body, activities of the subtle body, and their interaction, and becoming independent of both. This is spiritual advancement. When you are not conscious of anything, just going day after day doing the same thing, without knowing all these things, that's not good. Proper understanding has to come. Right? So, so therefore, when you give up karma, right, here mentions here, tasmad ye anye adhikrita karmani analpa vidya, analpa vidya, yesham cha mohanimittam tyaga sambhavadi kaya klesha bhayad cha te eva tamasaha tyagina rajasaha cha idi nindyande karminam analpajnanam karma phala tyaga swarupam. He says, what he's saying is this, that suppose karma has to be done, some karma has to be done, right? But when you have no knowledge, spiritual knowledge, you have no spiritual knowledge, you are engaging in karma, you will always be fearful of the problems that will create for the body. Is it not? You can see that in our own life, when we don't have proper knowledge, because our bodham is very much in the body, right? So, because we don't have this kind of awareness inside us, right? So, when we do karma, we are conscious of the problem that the karma may create for the body. We will protect our body first, is it not? Under any circumstances. First we will protect our body. And if the karma is very heavy and if it is going to cause problem for us, we will keep away from that. We won't do the karma because we know that it will affect our body. So, what that is, because actually, karma, due to that, so, and if you give up karma in that way, it is very fine thing, this is what is spoken, yeah? You have to think about it, only then you will understand it, the gravity of this statement, right? If you give up karma, thinking that your body is going to get affected by that karma, that is called Rajasatyaga. That means you are giving up karma in the mode of passion. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Rajasatyagam. Or sometimes it could become tamasam as well. So, and therefore, satyagatyagam is there. You see, everything is under three modes of nature. Everything. Tyagam also is under three modes of nature. So, giving up karma in knowledge, giving up karma out of fear for the body is different. They are two different things, right? When you give up karma for protecting the body, because of the fear of body getting affected by that, and due to that fear, then it is considered to be either rajasam or it could be tamasam as well, right? And, but at the same time, karma bhalam has to be given up, right? So, he says, sarva arambha parityagi mauni sandushto yena kena kichit anigeda sthiramadir. These are statements in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when we talked about a devotee. You remember when God Krishna says about a devotee? It's a very profound statements they are. He's saying there, sarvarambha parityagi mauni sandushto yena kena chit anigedaha sthiramadhi. All these things, 12th chapter, 16 to 19th verses, this comes, these statements. Krishna is calling, who is a devotee? This is Krishna's words on a devotee. He said, devotee is sarvarambha parityagi mauni sandushto yena kena chit anigedaha sthiramadhi. These are all his qualifications, right? Iti gunadida lakshaneja paramartha sanyasino visheshi tattval vakshedi cha jnanasya ya paranishta iti tasmal jnananishtaha sanyasino na iha vivakshidaha. So what does that mean? It means that one who does not have any doubts about anything, mauni, then satisfied with what he got in life, and one who doesn't have a permanent place of residence, and then one whose intelligence is very fixed. These are all the nature of a person who is spiritually very settled in life. Spiritually settled person's qualifications, Krishna is talking about, right? At the same time, these are all applicable to sannyasi as well, these things. Krishna spoke about that in the 12th chapter, Bhagavad Gita's 12th chapter, Bhakti Yogam. And he put all these things for a devotee as qualifications. And Acharya Swami says, exactly those qualities are expected from a sannyasi. He is a sannyasi. That means sannyasi has gone through all these stages before he becomes a sannyasi. Otherwise you will see what's happening now with the sannyasam. Everybody is confused about this modern sannyasam. Isn't it? What goes on? You can see that. So sannyasi's nishta and a devotee's nishta and a jnani's nishta, they are all same. Sannyasi has passed through all these things, jnana nishta or yoga nishta or bhakti nishta, whatever it may be, right? So therefore, Acharya Swami says here that it is no need to discuss this again, because we have discussed this in the 12th chapter, what that means, all these things, right? Sarvaramba Parityagi. Krishna is saying Sarvaramba Parityagi Bhaktiman Se Samepriya. Then Mauni, Sandushto Yena Kainajid, Aniketaha, Sthiramati. All these are qualifications of a devotee. In the 12th chapter, Krishna said that. Yeah. And that is, when he says like that, that means the person is nishta. He has got nishta in that. Nishta means steady. He is steady with that. He is already established in that. Right? So, karma bhalatyagam eva satyatyena gunena tamasatu adhyapekshaya sanyasam uchire na mukhya sarva karma bhalatyagaha. Means, karmam, giving up karmam, is not satyam. Let me explain that. Earlier we saw karma bhalatyagam, right? So this karma bhalatyagam only, right? Karma bhalatyagam, out of fear for bodily discomfort, that is considered to be rajasam or tamasam. Yeah? Now, karma bhalam if you give up, but not giving up karmam, and still able to give up karma bhala tyagam without expectation anything from them, is satyaga tyagam. Satyaga tyagam. So everything is these three: satyagam, rajasam, tamasam. Everything. Karmam also satyaga, rajasam, tamasam. Karma bhala tyagam also satyagam, rajasam, tamasam. If you give up karmam due to fear of bodily discomfort or bodily problems, if you give up karmam, that is considered to be rajasam or tamasam. It can be rajasam or tamasam, right? But if you are not giving up karmam, but if you are able to give up the results of the karmam, karma bhalatyagam, then it is satyam. Krishna says it is satyam then. Yeah. So therefore, one has to know, just giving up all the karmam itself is not sannyasam. This is a complex thing, these verses, right? Sarva karma sannyasa sambhave cha nahi deha bhada shakyam iti hedu vajanat mukhyam edi chet. Because to give up all karmam is not possible by anybody, to give up all karmam, right? And if that is the case, giving up all the results of the karmam should be called as sannyasam in that way, right? So, it is spoken in this way because if you give up the results of the karmam, if you give up the results of the karmam, it is opening up the way for an ordinary person towards sannyasam. That is a principle. Overnight, you cannot make a sannyasi. That is why they say you have to go through these stages, brahmachari, grastham, vanaprastham. These are all the training stages for this sannyasam. Overnight you can't make anybody like that. That doesn't work. It will cause problem later. So, on an ordinary person, for him, before he gets to sannyasam, how to become free from that karma It is initially by giving up all the results of the karma, right? And similarly, after you have given up all the results of the karma, you will get shanti from that. It's also to tell the person, in order to encourage the person, one who is in the same context, he is spoken. That means, average person will find it very difficult to go into sannyasam state of consciousness. Yeah, what Krishna said in the first verses. So therefore, so many things, initial stages, it should be kept. And at a stage when he comes, first go, let the results go. You let the results go, right? And including Arjuna, who is also an jnani here, right? It was spoken like this, that sarva karma bhala tyagam, prahu tyagam vijakshana. So na sarva karmani manasa sanyasya, na eva kuruvan na karayan aste. Every time you have to go back to the fifth chapter, which is called the sanyasa yogam, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, right? There Krishna said, naiva kuruvan na karayan. He says there. So this naiva kurvanna karen means he is not doing anything, and he has in his mind there is no karma, chodana is not there. Suppose in your mind there is a desire to do things. That is how karmam begins, isn't it? Karmam doesn't start like that. Karmam first starts in the mind, and then it comes into the senses, into the body, and you become part of that, right? So, one person, one who has freed from karmam in his mind, right? In such a person, he won't have any problem. Tasmal karmani adhikradan pradiyesha sanyasa tyaga vilpaha yedu paramartha darshanam sankhyam tesham jnananishtayam sarva karma sanyasa lakshanayam adhikaro na anyatra idite vikalparha. So, those who have to do karma, karmam doesn't leave us so easily. As I mentioned before, even in the mathams, where who have taken sannyasam and who are living in the matham, right, they are also doing karma. Why? Because they are not feeling that karma chodana has not gone from inside. So what do? They engage in puja, dhyanam, japam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, whatever, Upanishads and all that. This is their upasana. Why do they do that upasana? Because karma chodana has not gone from inside. So they have to do that. Yeah. If you have gone beyond all these things, this is another stage. This is in the sadhana stage of a sannyasi. These things. In the sadhana stage of a sannyasi, they will do all these things. Which one? Japam, dhyanam, puja, swadhyayam, which is studying shastram and all these things. That's because karma vasana has not completely left their mind. So that mind needs some engagement, body needs engagement. So therefore they do it. So that means they are in the sadhana stage. They haven't reached that stage. Maharshi's case was different. Maharshi has reached all these things. He has reached a stage, always situated in the platform of the self. No identification with the body, waiting for the body to go. So, for him, there is no need for sadhana. He doesn't have to do it. Whether he does karmam or he doesn't do karmam, it doesn't matter. Because identification with the body is not there. There, how do you know that? Because he was not asking for any demands of the body. He may not eat, he may eat. Depending on if the body wants something, he will give it to the body. So sleeping, eating and all concern, no restrictions for him. He has become free from that. Because to such an extent, he has become free from the identification with the body. So he is free. He has become free more. But the others have not become free yet. So therefore, because the karma chodana is inside, they still have to do some karma. And in that process, they have been given these instructions to engage in meditation, dhyanam, puja, swadhyayam and all other things, right? So these principles to understand, you must study the 5th chapter well first. And you should also study this 18th chapter. Then you will see the 12th chapter also. To Krishna is talking about all these things. The way Bhagavad Gita is spoken is like this. Several places the principle is spoken, right? So it's our effort is required to bring it all together and see the connection between all these things. And then you will get the message from that. Yeah. So sannyasam, principle, in basic principle, sannyasa means that there are sannyasis properly in that state and those who are on their way towards sannyasam, right? So, in their case, those who are in the sadhana stage of the sannyasam, right? Anything that is disturbing his spiritual consciousness, that means, suppose you are very busy with material life, then you cannot perform any dhyanam, meditations, right? You cannot perform any spiritual activity properly. It is well known things. Without anybody telling us, we know that, right? So those activities which are causing problem for your spiritual activities, you can give up. Those activities in life which is causing disturbances in your spiritual activities, you can give up, right? But deity worship or Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita or Dhyana, meditation, those things are not against your spiritual progress. So there also you'll have to differentiate them properly, right? So such things, that means japam, sandhyavandanam, snanam, properly bathing in the right time, anushtanam, one don't have to give up, right? But what you have to give up is things like kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, things like that has to go, right? So, yeah. But in that, this is the subtle side of this sannyasa ashramam, right? So quite often people, in the today's world, if you look into YouTube and all that, you will see loads of people are studying Vedantam, isn't it? They attracted by Vedantam, but they are not able to give up all these things, and very quickly they get angry, very quickly they get upset about everything, and things like that, right? So. So, those vasanas inside us, which are going to cause problem for us, these are all vasanas, isn't it? Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham. These are all vasanas inside us, right? And these things is the one to be given up. And the stage when to give it up is vanaprastha ashrama. Not actually in the sannyasa ashrama. The time when this has to leave us is in the vanaprastham stage itself. So what Krishna is saying here is that it's like a prescription he is giving to us. Vanaprastha ashramam is the stage when these things should... That is why they say vanaprastha ashramam, probably people won't understand it. People just think vanaprastham means just going to the forest and living there with 5-star comforts in the forest. That is not vanaprastha ashram. That means once you have come to that stage, instead of getting more attached to the body, trying to become more free from the body, whatever discomfort comes to the body, and illnesses, because vanaprastha means more or less the different types of illnesses comes one after the other, in our life, isn't it? 50, 55, that's the age. When all these uninvited guests keep coming, one after the other, to the body. So, in that vanaprastha ashramam, the rule is that Unlike in the grihastha ashramam, where you are very attached to the body, where you are given some freedom to look after, to enjoy the body, is totally withdrawn from you. And you are more going in a reverse direction, that giving up attachment to the body, giving up all kinds of comforts for the body, and becoming more free from the grip of the body. Body is holding us like this, isn't it? Scorpion, they say, scorpionic effect. It is, suppose if you feed that understanding more and more in the Vanaprastha ashramam, then in Sannyasa ashramam there is no chance of survival. You won't even get there. Even Vanaprastham you will say goodbye to this world. You won't be worried about sannyasam. But even in Vanaprastha ashramam, the understanding is this, that you should have become free from all these vasanas, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, and all that, right? So, ideally, the purpose of all this is to create this discipline for the body and the mind. Somehow or the other, we have to bring the body and mind under discipline in such a way that they don't cause too much trouble for us in our pursuit of self-realization, right? So, and this principle, if a grihastha can also do it, it is still better. Because then his vanaprastham will be much easier. If you do it in the grihastha stage itself. But if grihastha ashrama also you enjoyed well, and then you say you want to become in the vanaprastha also you want to enjoy well, and that means in your consciousness, you are very much attached to your body, and then it becomes more difficult to come out of it. There is no question of in sannyasam happening that. So this is the underlying current flowing from brahmachari also you are supposed to live. But in the modern world there is no proper brahmachari ashram either. Very rarely though you will find. Brahmachari life is in the schools and colleges. And there all your desires are whipped up to enjoy life, is it not? So what you come out of these schools and colleges is with full of desires. And when you have such desires, then once you become you have a occupation, and from that occupation money is coming, then it becomes fulfilling all these desires through the money what you've got. Because then you're not dependent on anybody, your own money, you can spend what you want to do with it, is it not? So, brahmachari ashram, you didn't control your body and mind. Grihastha ashramam also has gone in the wrong way. Then vanaprastha ashramam, when it comes to that age group, I'm saying, when you come to that age stages of in life, vanaprastha ashram, it becomes more difficult. If your brahmachari ashram and grihastha ashram was also like that, and then what to talk about sannyasam then? That question doesn't arise, right? So, nobody saying that you have to change your clothes, you have to go and join an institution for this, it doesn't help. If these things, if one doesn't practice in one's own life, suppose we didn't get the opportunity in brahmachari life to do that, because we were given an education which was not favorable, and it so happened that in grihastha ashramam you got entangled with so many things in life, but if you keep this principle inside strongly, gradually you will be able to come out from that, not totally controlled by the body and the mind. Provided you take this message from Krishna very seriously. It will happen that way. So that is the idea behind this. Because we also have to understand Shastram in the light of the present lifestyle, what we have got. And that's what maximum you can do today. You can't do anything more than that. Just by joining an institution or changing your clothes and becoming sannyasi is worthless. It's not going to help. Till these principles are understood properly, and somehow or the other, if one can become free from this grip of the body and the mind, gradually, it cannot happen overnight. All these ashrams are training grounds for that. Brahmachari, grihastham, vanaprastham. Only thing is in grihastha ashramam, because of its complexity, because you are living with few people, wife, children and all that, a certain amount of concession is given. But the underlying principle doesn't change, even in grihastha ashramam. Even in grihastha ashram, underlying principle doesn't change. That it's all nivritti. Nivritti margam it is. Become free from the bondage. and everything. So properly understanding Shastram, like the way Krishna has spoken, and what he has spoken, if you understand the spirit of all this, and implementing them in life, this will make a progress in spiritual life for that person. That means meditation, japam, swadhyayam. Similarly, other things also. And in order to strengthen this understanding is satsangam. Satsangam is to get all these things driven into our mind, to get into our head, right? And therefore it won't happen in one day, constantly listening and thinking about it, right? So control of diet and these different yoga practices, all these things, if it can help in getting this body, and when we say people go through a lot of austerities to keep the body, but it's not with the idea of self-realization, isn't it? It's mostly done that so that I can enjoy more in that context, right? So, so this anushtanam and these practices, one should follow throughout life. If it didn't happen in our life in Brahmachari ashram or in Grahastha ashramam, at least whenever it comes, a stage comes in life when you can take it seriously, one should take it. That's the principle, right? So this is what is expected, right? If we don't, there are a lot of things related to that, yeah? The engaging in activities in such a way that is not detrimental for spiritual progress. One has to acquire that skill to know which activity is detrimental for spiritual life, right? Suppose you read Srimad Bhagavatam and you spend some time in satsangam and absorb in that. At least you will escape from the mobile phone. Is it not? This mobile phone is a very dangerous thing that has taken over all over the world. People are suffering because of that. Yeah? If you hear some of the results, what's happening in children are taken to psychiatrists because of this addiction to the mobile phones. Parents don't know what to do with them, with the children. It has come to that stage. You see, so especially in India, it is happening in Bangalore mostly because of the Silicon Valley's, the type of jobs there, a lot of money and given to the young engineers who are working in that. And their children growing up with these, they are busy. The parents are busy working day and night. And the children are, this is given as a toy for them. And that has destroyed them. Many children have been destroyed by that, right? So you can understand why it is so important for us also. We are talking about the children. What about us? We also can be victims of this. Is it not? We can be victims of that. And it does happen. Sannyasis get victimized by that. Brahmacharis get victimized by that. What to talk about householders? Yeah? Sannyasis and brahmacharis. I'm not saying this, but you may not know this also. One of our ex-presidents here in the manor got victimized by this. He couldn't live without internet. He was a sannyasi. And at a stage, he decided to get married and leave the whole thing. It is through internet this happened to him. So right in front of your eyes it's happening, that this can happen. Yeah. So whatever we do in such a way that all of us live in what is called Bhava Mandalam. We are not living in the Sharira Mandalam. We are not on the bodily platform all the time. We are most of the time in the mental platform. Is it not? If you think about our own life, you can see this Bhava Mandalam. Bhava Mandalam means mental platform. If it is pure, you won't get destroyed easily. Sharira Mandalam is bodily platform. Bodily platform, only sometimes when we experience pain or some discomfort or when we are doing some sense gratification, that is when we come into the bodily platform. If you look into your vacant state, most of the time you are on the mental platform, which is called Bhava Mandalam, right? So if this Bhava Mandalam is very clean and if it's very pure, the chances of you degrading is little. But that is why, you see, knowing this, what the rishis did, they wanted to keep your Bhava Mandalam very live, and therefore all kinds of music suitable for this, kirtanam, and all kinds of entertainment, like, you know, the different types of Kathak, Bharatanatyam, all these things is done in such a way that your mental platform, you are always in a clean state. Bhava Mandalam. It's called Bhava Mandalam, right? Now, this is unavoidable because as much as Karmis wanted to have their Bhava Mandalam, unfortunate problem for them is they have created entertainment, television, mobile phones, internet, Facebook, all these things is only to excite this Bhava Mandalam, their mental platform, right? Instead, rishis thought that everyone is living in the Bhava Mandalam. There is no doubt about that, mental platform. So at least if you keep that mandalam very pure and clean, the chances of you getting degraded is very little. Whereas if you pollute that Bhava Mandalam with all these things, to come back from that is very difficult then. That was their conclusion. They thought about all these things. It's not they were stupid. They thought through this and they realized that somehow or the other, you will be surprised at how they have developed all kinds of, what do they call it, the temple arts. Everything, they connected people to the temple, right? And many of those temple arts is mostly in the daytime or whole of night time. That means morning to evening you have got certain activities which are like what is possible during the day. And in the night time, if you can't do all that, you sit together and watch that program, which is coming from Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Bhagavatam and all that. So somehow or the other, daytime and the night time, if you keep your consciousness in a state which is free from all the illusory things, illusions, then the chances that it is easier for you to get a control of your mind and body. Whereas if you continuously pump sense gratification all the time, then it will be very difficult to get a control over it in vanaprastham or in sannyasam also. Right? So that is why they developed visiting to the temple, kshetra darshanam, parikramam, pilgrimage, all these things. Similarly, going for Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Saptaham, all other things is only to keep this Bhava Mandalam in a good state. Right? So, and one has to learn to make a lifestyle in that way. Right? Because if you do only one thing, then it becomes very difficult for the mind. If you are only doing, say only japam, I'm not doing anything else except japa. After a few days, you'll find it difficult. It's not possible. So you require some variety. And therefore, japa, dhyanam, puja, salsangam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, or kirtanam, all the different ways, somehow or the other, to engage this mental mind, state of mind, in a pure state. Right? So, maximum time, if you can fill with such things, it will create a discipline in the life, right? This, we can only say these things, right? But one has to do it oneself, in one's own life. Everyone has to find their own way. You can't give a program for everybody together. Because we have to live in this world. So one has to find one's own way, but you have to understand the principle behind it, how to do that, right? And you have to find in that way and find the activities what's suitable and live in that way, right? You can see circumambulation of the temple, offering obeisances. All these are a part of that, right? Meditation, japam, everything. And this is, it is only for this reason our ancestors built all the massive temples. They didn't build 5-star hotels. They built temples so that people could engage themselves one way or the other in some activity related to the keeping the body and the mind under control, right? So they filled the day, the ancestors, the kings and the rishis, they thought through this and they paid the people and they filled our day with a little spiritual practices like this. You can do various things in that way, right? So, if you do like that, what will happen is, gradually you will see Chitta Shuddhi coming. Chitta Shuddhi, right? And you won't get trapped in any unwanted things in life. Yeah? And that will gradually develop Nivrti, Nivrti Marga, right? So, if this bhavam has not come in a person, right? You may have studied Shastram a lot. You may have taken sannyasam, but it will not work if this bhavam has not come. That means to look at one's own life and to develop a certain discipline centered around the mind and the body, how to protect yourself from getting destroyed by the influence of outside agents and becoming stronger that way within. And then Shastram and Sannyasam can help. But if you don't have that discipline in life, have not developed that discipline in life, both for the body and the mind, and then you have gone and studied Shastram in a course or a seminar or anything, and then you have taken Sannyasam and all that, most probably you will fall. Most probably you will fall. Right? And this is what Srinarada Maharshi told Vedavyas. So you look into that canto, first canto, when he said that, in the same fifth chapter. These are all spoken in such a subtle way. Naishkarmamabhi achyudabhavavarjidam nashobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapuna shashurabhadramishvare najarpidam karma yadapya karanam. This is what he is saying there. Naishkarmyam abhi achyudabhava varjidam. Achyudabhavam comes from these things. So without this achyudabhavam, means bhakti, your naishkarmyam siddhi is not going to happen. That's what he is saying here. Naishkarmyam abhi achyudabhava varjidam. What he is saying is, if you do karmam in this world, just like a social service, people do a lot of karmam here. Social service, is it not? You know, opening hospitals, opening schools, and various kinds of social services people do, right? It will not help, he's saying. Why? Because the achyuta bhavam is not there in that. Ishvara bhavam, right? If it is not there, then it will only become a karma. Only become a karma. Karmam becomes a yogam only when we accept that Krishna is doing this. Krishna is doing this. So this awareness, bodham, inside is essential, right? So, like sometimes some sannyasis, right? They are sannyasis, but they don't like others. They get angry very quickly. Hate and anger, these things, na shobhade, Krishna, that's what Narada Maharshi is saying, right? So, karmam, it's not good enough if you do it without expectation of results from that. or you are giving the results to others. Like social service is like that. You are doing a lot of things for the communities or to the society. Community service or social service like that. But Achyuta Bhavam is not there. So it doesn't help. Right? Karmam only when it is performed Bhagavad Arpanam. That Arpana Buddhi, that is the more important than anything else. Oh, that's what Narada Maharshi has mentioned in that word. Naishkarmyam abhi Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. Achyuta Bhavam is required. That Krishna is doing this, I am just a tool for that. It is Krishna who is doing that. This bodham, awareness inside. Otherwise, na shobade jnanam alam niranjanam. His spiritual understanding is very poor. Right? So, and that's what here Krishna is saying, that tyajyam doshavadi tyage karma prahur manishina. You look at that third verse. Karma prahur manishina means that able to know what is helping you in your self-realization and able to discard that karma, what is not helping you. Tyajya doshavadi tyegam karma prahur manishina, he says. Manishina means one who has got that intelligence to able to engage in karmam in that way, right? That means he knows the essence of that. Why all this karmam is for? Puja, japam, dhyanam. One should not give up all these things, right? For example, you study Upanishads, you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everything, right? Vedantam and all that. Then you decide that, oh, I have given up everything. And as Krishna said that, yajna dana tapa karma, all the other things, I won't do any of these things. Sometimes people come to that conclusion also. Because I have accepted what Krishna is saying, nityajyam doshavaditiyam karma prahur manishina, then, but therefore I have decided to give up all these things, yajna dana tapa karma. Krishna says no. Why? Because if you give up, when you have this karma vasana inside, if you give up all the karma, what will happen is that your attention will automatically go into the world outside. And that is when it happens like that. Yeah, many people have this problem which you may not completely, you may have not had time to think about it, but sannyasis, many times, they wanted to see cinemas, they want to go to foreign tours, they want to travel all over the world. This is all that hidden desires inside. It's not that they are feeling that they want to save the whole world. If you are a little bit intelligent, you know that this world cannot be saved by anybody. This is Maya's domain it is. Lot of people, Mahatmas had come and tried to save this world. And the world is the way it is now. You can see how far this world. So it is worthless trying to put effort in that direction. But then what is prompting them to go? Desires inside. Because they are getting fed up their own ashram. So they want a foreign tour. Book the ticket. Money is there. Somebody is paying. Go on a jolly. This is what it is. What else is there? How do you explain that otherwise? It's not easy to get rid of the vasanas from inside. Yeah? So vasanas have not gone and it is in a hidden form inside, and when it comes to that stage you get bored with all other things, it will tell you from inside, why not go? Yeah. So so you can see now the difference. All these sannyasis want to go abroad. Travel elsewhere. They want to save the whole world. That is the pretext, isn't it? Somebody is coming and he's coming here to save us, right? Maharshi didn't go anywhere. He just sat there. In that forest, in that hut, he stayed there. He didn't go anywhere. Some of his devotees told him, let's go to Haridwar. He says, what's there in Haridwar, what is not here? It's the same thing that's there also. If my state of consciousness is like that, if I'm not always in that state of consciousness, if I go to Haridwar, if I go in Himalayas, what is going to make a difference? That's what he said. But then there are others who have gone there and they never came back from there. Because they wanted to be aloof from this. So different people who in that state, they make different decisions like that. But this foreign tools and all that, the way it is happening now, can only be explained in this way. It is their desires that's coming out. And for to fulfill that desire, they will go. Whatever you think about them, they don't care about it. You can say whatever you want, it doesn't matter to them, right? So, so important, that's what he's saying here. Tyajyam doshavadi tyage karma prahur manishina. To develop this knowledge and understanding and to stay in that state is very difficult for most of the people. Because this thing called vasana will wait for an opportunity. As soon as it gets a favorable situation, it will tell you to engage in that. Yeah. Say for example, for a sannyasi, suppose a sannyasi in India, I'm saying, he doesn't have any money, he won't think about a foreign tour, will he? He will be very happy with the ashram and a few kilometers around, he'll be satisfied. Look at Vrindavan now. Yeah. Everyone in the Vrindavan is a Mahatma now. And everybody needs foreign disciples. They need to be abroad in a few months, in a year. And they need to spend time like that. Why? Because there are sannyasis get support from the so-called disciples are happy to invite him. And they think this is the right thing to do. So sannyasam stage, and if you look at those sannyasis' activities when they come, there's nothing much, nothing much happening, exciting. All they come from the airport. You go with your limousine, a few of the devotees and disciples come and offer obeisances, put some garland, he blesses everybody, and then they put him in the Mercedes and take him to the ashram. Everything is taken care of. For him, it's a good change from his ashram in India. So he's taking full advantage of that. And these stupid disciples also doesn't have the understanding of what sannyasam is all about. And they go on popping up like this. And he says he doesn't have much time. It's only 2 or 3 months' time. So he has to give for each center a few 2 or 3 days here and there. And then he wanders around all this and he had a good time and he goes back to his ashram again to come for the next year. So this is sannyasam has come to this stage. And they are all supposed to be preaching and saving the world. And the world is like this, the way it is now, after saving all that. Yeah. So understand this, what Krishna is saying. That word manishina refers to this. You see, you don't do things without thinking about it. Yeah. Tyajyam dosha vidityege karma prahur manishina. These are all meant for proper understanding of spiritual life. Spiritual life is getting the control over the body and the mind. Yeah, that hasn't happened. So, able to give up that karma. You can see, if you have to travel, it is a lot of things that affects your upasana a lot, is it not? So, those karma that will destroy your sadhana and your steadiness in spiritual life, that should be given up. That should be given up. And that means they are such karma which is destroying my time. Destroying my time in spiritual life. Right? And one should try. So all these things are spoken. Shastram has spoken like this. Shastram is saying, yajnam dhanam tapas should not be given up. Yajnam dhanam tapas should not be given up. Right? So, and that Krishna says should be done. And this is for the sannyasi who is in the sadhana stage. Yeah? Sadhana stage. He hasn't reached that state of a realized soul yet. And realized persons don't do it. Realized persons doesn't have to do anything. But Krishna is saying, yajna dana tapa karmam not tyajyam iti chapare, should not be given up. In which stage? in this stage of sadhana, one who is trying to become a sannyasi. One who is trying to become a sannyasi at that stage. Right? So, tyajyam, tyaktavyam, doshavat doshaha, asti iti doshavat. Karmam is dosham, is cause problem, right? Because why do we say karmam is bad? Because it creates bondage, right? And Sankhya also says ragadvesham should be given up, right? And if you do karmam, there will be ragadvesham. This is the way it works. These are all subtle things. Krishna spoke about all these things in the second chapter itself, properly, is it not? The intricacies of karma, when he explained that, he said that karmam creates ragadvesham. That is the problem with karmam. So, ragadvesham we have to avoid. Ragadvesham vimuktaishtu vishayan indriyaischaran. Indriyam, if engaged in anything, then ragadvesham will come from that. Atma vishayat vidheyatma prasadam adhigacchati. Only if you are situated on the platform of the self, you will become free from this. Otherwise not. So therefore, when it is like that, at the same time he is saying, yatyadana tapakarmam natyajyam iti chavare. Even though he has said this in the second chapter, that karmam creates all these problems, now Krishna is saying, yatyadana tapakarmam natyajyam iti chavare. Yatyadanam tapasya karmam should not be given up. Right? So, what Krishna is saying is, that karmam that is going to create ragadvesham should be given up. Now, dhyanam, japam, homam, yajnam, these things don't create ragadvesham. That is the difference. They don't create ragadvesham. For example, if you go on Kshetra Darshanam, visiting the temples, circumambulation of the deity, and offering obeisances, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Bhagavad Gita, all these things are things which does not create ragadvesham inside. So if you engage your mind and your senses, everything in these activities, they will not create any harm. That will help you to get through your karma vasana to go in that direction. And that way you will become free from the karma. That is the principle spoken in this verse. Tyajyam doshavaditege karma prahur manishina yajna dana tapa karmam na tyajyam iti chapare. He says you should not be given up. Na tyajyam iti chapare. Right? So basically what Krishna is saying is yajnam, danam, tapasya, all these things should not be given up. Right? And for example, if you get an opportunity for performing a yajnam, do that. And if it can help your alpanishta, right? But if you cannot do it, don't do it. Doesn't matter, right? The jnananishta or the steadiness has come inside, right? And if you cannot do any of these things, if a stage comes in life, what that means is you have become free. It is then that you become free. That you cannot even do yajnam, danam, tapasya, all these things even. Yajna, danam, tapasya, karma. Any of these karma, you cannot do anymore. You have become free from that. Right? That means you have come out from the Vedam. And that is what is expected in sannyasam. You have to come out of these injunctions of the Vedam and the framework, what Vedam has created, that means you have come out from all of that now. Now you are not anymore bound by the Vedic injunctions, right? So, in the same way with bhakti also, this is for the jnani, in the same way it is for bhakti also, that because in bhakti you have developed to such a level that you feel that you don't need any of these things anymore. Gradually that stage will come, right? Then you have become free. But if you think that I have to do so many other karma after all that, and then again you feel the desire to engage in materialistic life and vyavaharam, all these things comes back, then you should not give yajnam, danam, tapasya. You should continue doing that. You see, our mind also, will dictate from inside based on our vasana. Our chittavrittis will develop around us, right? If it is dragging us back into materialistic life again and engaging in materialistic activities and karmam like that, in that case, you should not give up yajna danam tapas, right? For example, if you have a lot of wealth, as much as possible you can give it up to others, give it for them, right? That is what it says there, isn't it? Danam dina janayaja vittam. Danam dina janayaja vittam. Give up everything, right? For example, if you have 100 pounds, giving 5 pounds is not considered danam. But if you give 95 pounds and live on 5 pounds, then it is danam. That is the principle of danam. Suppose you have 100 pounds and if you give 5 pounds, I'll give for charity. And 95 I will keep for my living. That is not danam. Danam is talking about here, right? That it is a tapasitis in life. It's a tapasa, isn't it? That wealth has come somehow due to prarabdham or to your effort or whatever it is. And if you are able to give that away, Krishna is saying that, that will make you, that is a tapas in itself. That is a tapas in itself, right? Swadhyayam, japam, then control of the diet, salsangam, everything is a tapasa. These are all tapasa, right? That's what the word tapas is there. Yajna dana tapa karma. Tapas includes all these things. Because all this requires austerity from your end, from your side, right? So, Krishna is saying, those things should not be given up. So, now after that, Krishna is going to talk about his decisions on these things. And that is the next verse. Yeah. So, you can see here, there is a lot more talked about that in this commentary also. These two different visions, what was spoken before, Krishna is saying, Nishchayam Shrunume Tatra Tyage Bharata Satama Tyagohi Purusha Vyakra Trivida Samprakirtida, he says. Understand that question, what he has said there, that Tatra Edeshu Vigalpa Bedeshu, right? In the second chapter, in the 21st verse, if you look, Krishna has said this, Veda Vinashinam, 21st chapter, in the verse in the second chapter, Krishna is saying, similarly, in the beginning of the third chapter, also Krishna has spoken in a similar way, right? That how to get to know Anashwaram. Anashwaram means the deathless one. How do you reach that state, deathlessness? Because when do you become deathless? When you realize the self, is it not? That's when you become deathless. That means you realize that actually there is no destruction to yourself. Veda vinashina nityam, he says. Nasham is for the body. Gross and subtle bodies. Nasham is not for the self. Self always exists. Andaryami exists, isn't it? So, we exist. So, here he is saying, Arjuna's question was, what is tyagam? He said, right? So, this chapter, Moksha Sanyasa Yogam, right? Vedam says, Moksha means tyagam. Vedams, Upanishad says this. Tyage neiva amrdatva manashu. In the Upanishad, there is a statement, right? So, Vedam is the pramanam. Vedam is the authority on all these things, right? And this moksham is not something that you have to get it. It is a realization, isn't it? It's not something. Even now, in this present situation, the self is liberated. Self is not affected, even within ourselves, inside, or Krishna is present in us. in the form of Jiva is there, but our actual identity is Antaryami. And Antaryami is not bound. So, in other words, that only problem what we have is, we have misunderstood a lot of things actually what we are not. That's our problem. Bodily identity, thinking that we are the body, we are the mind, we are the intelligence, we are the ego. These are all false identities we have acquired, but none of that has anything to do with the self, Antaryami inside, right? So this acquisition of the different identities in this way, and due to that we are suffering now, is it not? Because of identification with the body, which we are not, mind, which we are not, intelligence, which we are not, ahankaram, which we are not. We have identified with all these things and with the gross body, which we are not. We are suffering because of that. So, and this is in the Shastram called Adhyasam. Right? This is called Adhyasam. Remember in the first canto, this is spoken. Adhyasam is spoken there. So, Adhyasam is just come out of it. From Adhyasam, Adhyasam means this. One on top of the other. First of all, we identified with the body. Then we started thinking we are an Indian or an American or a European or whatever it is. And then on top of that, we are thinking we are a man, we are a woman, all those things. And then on top of that, we are thinking engineer, doctor, all other things. So this is called developing Adhyasam one over the other. Right? So this Adhyasam is the problem. How to become free from this Adhyasam? So the more you become free from Adhyasam, to that extent, you will become more realized about the self. Adhyasam, getting rid of Adhyasam, is what leads into self-realization, right? And this experience, Krishna is already giving us in the deep sleep. Is it not? So, all these things has to be thought through. That why is deep sleep? Why did Krishna create us like this, the way it is now? Waken state, dream state, deep sleep. In vacant state, Adhyasam is maximum. Because you identify with the body, you identify with the mind, you identify with everything in the subtle body, senses, everything you are identifying. So that means Adhyasam is maximum in the vacant state. When you go into the dream state, what has happened? Adhyasam has come down. Is it not? Because the gross body is not so much involved at that time. You are on another world, in the dream world, mostly with the mind. That's the Adhyasam in the dream state. And once you go into Sushupti, you are leaving everything. You are leaving everything, right? So, you have left the world, you have left the body, you have left the mind, you have left the ego, everything has gone in the deep sleep. Abhimana Vritti or Ahankara Vritti, it's called, has gone, right? When everything has gone, what was left behind? Only the self. Yeah? And its experience is what you are getting of the self and the Sushupti, at the Sushupti stage, right? This everybody has, this experience, right? Not only for one person. So, Sushupti is given to everybody by Prakriti. Prakriti gives to us. Right? And to learn from this, to understand the Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti properly, and to take this understanding from that Sushupti stage, I got the maximum happiness. Is it not? It is Sushupti, we all like it. Because when you come out of it, first thing what you say is, you feel refreshed altogether. Is it not? And that sukham, happiness, what you experience then, cannot be compared with anything else in this world. Cannot be compared with anything. No other happiness is as good as that happiness, what you get from there. Right? So, and in order to get that, you didn't have to do anything. Whereas in the vacant state, you have to work so hard to get some happiness. Whereas in Sushupti, without any effort, you are getting the happiness. What does that mean? So, the lesson to learn from that is, if you leave everything what you are not, then you will get happiness. That is a principle to learn from the Sushupti. That's what has happened in Sushupti, isn't it? I left my body, I left my gross body, subtle body, everything, and I was happy in Sushupti. So the principle that one has to learn from that is that if I can do that in the vacant state, then that's the way to be happiness. That's the way to happiness, right? Giving up means what? Giving up means identification, isn't it? Abhimana. That is what giving up means. You see, in the vacant state, maximum identification. So, to be happy, happiness is, or in other words, anandam, is the nature of the soul. If you are identifying with the self, you are bound to be happy. You won't be unhappy. Whereas if anybody looks at our face, and when they see how miserable we are, in our face itself, that misery is expressed through the face, very serious and very depressed, and always in a anxiety, fear, all these things. Why is it like that? Because of the identification with the body and the gross and subtle bodies, right? So, the spiritual understanding is that if you think that your happiness is coming from outside something, it will go. It will not stay permanent with you. Any happiness. If you are feeling any happiness from outside coming to you, and if you start thinking, I will only get happiness from outside, that means you have not understood spiritual life. The spiritual principle is, no happiness that comes from outside is permanent. It will come, it will go. Anything that comes will go. This principle should not be forgotten. That is why in spiritual life, seeing Krishna right in front of you is not perfection. That's not the realizing the self is perfection. Because Krishna gives you darshanam. One, suppose you are a great devotee and one day Krishna gave you a darshanam. But Krishna is not going to stay with you. He will go, like he did to Narada Maharshi, and he did to Dhruva also, and he did to many others. It's not. No, but he will not stay. He will go. And then when he leaves, you will feel suffering again, miserable again. So what it's saying is, this is the spiritual understanding, that when you realize the self, and when the proper happiness, that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna, realization should be that of realizing Krishna inside as Andaryami. Brahmin Sarvabhudani Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsesi Shashwatam. Shashwatam means permanent. Permanent thing, if you want, it's only possible there, not outside. So even if you see Krishna outside, there are many people, they used to ask Prabhupada also the same question. These press people, you know, the media people, they say, have you seen God? He says, so Prabhupada will say to them, if I tell you the answer, will you accept it? They say, yes, I've seen the God. Then you can't ask any more question, can you? Because you said you will accept what I'm saying. So that's the way he used to shut them up. Because they don't understand. For them, seeing God outside like you and me is the perfection of spiritual life. But self-realization is a different story altogether. That's only one part of that. Seeing Krishna outside in Sagunam, it comes like that. But Nirguna realization, Brahmam, ultimately realizing the self, that is why Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, without any giving doubts to anyone, Muktihi Tanyadharyupam Surubena Vivastiti, what Krishna is saying in that, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. So you connect Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together, the conclusion is the same. Yeah. So realizing self is more important, right? Because happiness that comes from outside will not stay permanently. It will come, it will stay for some time if you get it, and then after that it will go. And you can see like that everything in life. You made money. Money also will stay some time. After some time it will go. And similarly, a big house or a big comforts in life and family, all this is for becoming happy. We have done all that. But they also don't stay. They will also go. House will go, family will go. And even this very body where you wanted to be happiness, that body also will go. So what do you do with that, right? So happiness or sukham is not through acquired through senses. This is the principle, right? And Prahlada said the same thing. Sukhama indriyagam deityo deha yogena dekhinam sarvatra labhide deva yatha dukham ayatmada. He is comparing happiness and distress in that verse, right? So only what is required from us now in our present state is to give up everything what we are not. And that is what is called analpa pratyaya tiraskaranam. That's the word in the shastram, right? What we are not, we have to become free from that. At the moment, I'm thinking I'm this body. I'm thinking I'm this subtle body, mind, intelligence and all that. And I'm stuck with that. And I'm not able to go back to my identity, actual identity, spiritual identity, Sarupi, Sarupam, and experience that, what I am, right? So that is the principle. This simple yukti, simple logic, is what Krishna is teaching us through Sushupti state. Yeah. So, you know, Krishna has spoken about these three states in the Ekadasha Skandam very much in detail. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't talk about it. In Bhagavadam, because it's a upasana, it's a sadhana it is. That is why it was not spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a science. But in Ekadasha Skandam, because it is a sadhana, Krishna has spoken it in detail. In the 11th canto, you will see. Jagrat sutna sushuptincha nivurto gunavartaya sakshal vilakshano jiva sakshityane vinishchaya. There are so many verses, one after the other, talking about these three states, jagrat sutnam sushupti. And Uddhava also said this to Govis when he went in the to Vrindavanam, when he spoke to the Govis. He talks about jagrat sutnam sushupti there, to these three states. Yeah. So, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam means you can see the connection between the two, between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. It is very closely connected. Bhagavad Gita is a science spoken. The science of self-realization is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavadam is the story of those great personalities who got there through different methods. Every one of them is different. Kunti Devi is different, Bhishma is different, and Parikshit is different. And similarly, Prahlada, Dhruva, Akrura, Uddhava, Gopis, all different ways they are trying to get to that state, what Bhagavad Gita has spoken of, that self-realized state. Yeah. So first thing Krishna is saying that nischayam shrunume tatra tyage bharada sattama tyagohi purusha vyakra trividha samprakirtida. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, hear from me that this tyagam is in three different ways. Tyagam, right? Nishayam shrunu avadharayami mama vajana tatra tyage tyaga sanyasa vikalpe yatha darshire bharada sattama bharadanam sadhudhama. So these two words, tyagam and sanyasam. What is Krishna is trying to say to us? Right? And that will be spoken later. Yeah. So he says here, in one sense, if you say tyagam and sannyasam is one and the same. Tyagam is also spoken, tyagam and sannyasam, these two words. Right? They are the one that is being discussed now. Tyagam and sannyasam. All these three comes under these three modes. Which one? Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Yeah. This Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam is in the Vedam, big topic. Yeah. And if you don't take, it is because of that Varnashama Dharma has come, because of this Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. And Krishna has spoken about this in the Ekadasya Skandam, that your Shraddha, your Bhakti, your Karma, your food, your livelihood, there is nothing which is not one of these. Everything is under these three. Satyarajasatamasam. So, once you get to understand this impact of Satyarajasatamasam in all of us, then you can see that it is not easy to change that from one to another. Right? So, so when it is done through these three modes, the meaning of these two words changes. Which one? Tyagam and Sannyasam. When they come through these three modes, the meaning changes. So you see how complex it is. If you see in the modern world, people don't take any of these into account. Yeah, they just put everyone in one box and says, "You all do. We'll all do it together. We are all in it together." They say, and then we'll all do the same thing, and nothing happens. But this is much finer understanding, that in three modes of nature, these two things, Tyagam and Sannyasam, takes different turns. We'll talk about it after a few minutes.